Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio with Dable. I'll say this is the worst you can be with Dable. Right. You're going to get better now.
I don't care about the Joe Judge and
But what I mean is if you the issue is if you trade him, he's not with his staff anymore. We got to see what he looks like with someone else.
Well, I'm only projecting he's with the Giants.
Right.
There's nothing out there that if you told me that the Giants had like there was what's the guy's name that went to Pittsburgh? I'm drawing a blank now.
The coach or the player?
The player. That was at Pittsburgh from Chicago to Buffalo. Now is in Pittsburgh as the backup.
Buffalo.
I threw a complete blank. The quarterback that was with Dable in Pittsburgh. Buffalo. What's his name?
Hold on, guys. Help me out here.
I just threw a blank.
Chicago?
To Buffalo.
Trubisky.
Trubisky. If Mitch Trubisky was balling out and was on a one-year deal in Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden he was a guy who was a threat to the Daniel Jones situation, the Giants. Now we're talking about something.
Right.
All right? Jimmy Garoppolo's not a threat. Derek Carr, it doesn't make sense to sign him. You're not getting Aaron Rodgers. Doesn't make sense to do that. You're not probably going to get Lamar Jackson. Probably not. Doesn't make sense to do that. What else is there left at the quarterback spot? You've got to pay him.
And I'll remind everybody that Daniel Jones really didn't have a receiving corps last year. Certainly didn't have that outside alpha.
No, he didn't have a number one type guy that he could depend on when he needed him most.
Or a tight end. Like the receiving targets were just not there. So let's see what he looks like as we see what happens around the league when someone gets that.
They're negotiating. He's not going anywhere. They're negotiating.
The quarterback carousel. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. Just Key and me today.
Mitch Trubisky.
Jay on a little vacay.
I forget that name.
Mitch Trubisky. But I know why you think Mitch Trubisky. You're talking about a tall, athletic, fast quarterback.
Yeah, a guy that would have been good. That was under Dable's system, that kind of knew him, that they flirted with a little bit last year to come in and compete with Daniel Jones, and he goes to Pittsburgh. How did that work out for him? Probably not so good. Now he'll probably be on the move again. And so when you start to look at that, you sit there and you say to yourself, is there a quarterback out there in the world that can make it hard on Daniel Jones' camp to negotiate a certain way with the Giants? And I would say that there isn't.
Right. These are market issues, really, that we're talking about. And the Giants coaching staff, like Key – My whole life, you know, you look at other coaches, you go, oh, man, that coaching staff, boy, where's the Giants? I don't want to – I love the Giants coaching staff right now. I don't want to – like, I love the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, head coach, like everybody. It's good, man. Listen, if they would have pried Jeff Stoutland away from Philadelphia to be the offensive line coach, fine. But that didn't happen, but okay. Matt in Florida, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, you know, I was interested that y'all brought up Lamar Jackson and what the Jets need to do. I think they need to take a big swing and try to actually get him instead of trying to get Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr, because he could play with the bolstered offensive line, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers can't, and Derek Carr really can't.
Yeah, he's young.
No, I would take a swing at him.
But then
again, here we go. What are you getting? You're going to get the Jets' first-round pick, which is where it's at. Then they're going to win. Then you're going to get the bottom-of-the-barrel first-round pick next year. You're trading him within the conference. And I know you don't care. Oh, I don't care about the conference. It's important, man. When you got
not the
play,
division, though.
It's the conference. It's the same
man,
thing.
Oh, man, stop being scared.
Yeah, I'm scared. Because you could affect the outcome of something for us in the future.
Lots of things could happen.
We need Buffalo to beat you. You beat Buffalo now. All
yep,
of a sudden,
that could happen. What I notice about the NFL is that the
this
NFL...
This is not the NBA. We're not trading a guy across the street.
The NFL coaches and players are so... It's like PTSD from time in the league along these lines. They are so scared of the negative outcome. Because even if something's 70% likely
good
to be
players,
good...
Good players, though.
30% of the time it'll be bad. And if the bad thing happens, everyone gets fired and loses their job. Man, go for it on fourth down. Stop worrying about trading a guy in the conference. Sometimes it will bite you. Sometimes it'll work.
It's easy for you to say that because your
blood
is not on the line.
Right, 100%.
Yeah, you look at it differently. You cannot trade an asset like Lamar Jackson in the conference or the division. Unless it's just such a blowaway type deal where it's just all of a sudden, you know, 5-1s and, you know,
of course. Let's look at it from the Jets' point of view, though. The reason there's almost no price that's too high for Lamar, for me, if I'm the Jets, is unlike Rodgers, he's not 100 years old, right?
I don't mean to laugh. I'm sorry.
What's that?
They could have drafted Lamar, though, but
yeah,
go ahead. But go ahead.
Yeah, it reminds me of a scene from Anchorman 2, but we could talk about that later. But he's in his physical prime. As I said, 3 weeks younger than Joe Burrow. Key, imagine, like, if the Jets got Lamar and things worked out, that might be they could be the best team in football for a while, right?
They got a defense, he got the offensive players. And he got receivers.
He's never had receivers like he's had.
And
like
then they
can
still add a veteran guy to the mix that can play.
I mean, that would be a lot. That's why I get it. The same thing with Rodgers. If Rodgers was younger to me with the Jets and wasn't putting everyone through the, I might retire.
I'd rather give up all the compensation in the world to go get Lamar Jackson.
For a 26-year-old versus a 38-year-old?
I'll give up some compensation for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Because he's pretty and you just never know.
Right.
But in the end, I'm giving up more for Lamar, no question.
Wayne in Arkansas, you're on with Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
What's up, Brett?
I think Derek Carr should go to the 49ers. Be a great fit with that team.
Me too. I certain, but they're not paying him $40 million. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And he's going to get close to $40 million plus or minus because wherever his salary was this past season, that's where it's going to be this season.
Look, any competent quarterback's going to look good on the 49ers. So I agree. To me, I look at teams that have – like, I look at the Jets, and I go, here's the interesting for the Jets and the Colts for me. Colts keep trying. What if we get this guy cheap? He's been around. Scrap heap guy, you know, reclamation project, undervalued quarterback. Let's try – it's not working. The Jets are saying, let's draft and develop a guy. That's not working. So if I'm the Jets and the Colts, I try something different. If I'm the Colts, I draft and develop. And if I'm the Jets, I want a veteran now. I want to slide in a veteran now that I don't have to draft and develop because that's not working for me.
I'm trying to think. When was the last time they had a veteran that, I mean, if you call Fitzmagic, I mean, that wasn't nothing.
He's a backup who, man.
Backup to the backup?
Fitzmagic was like just good enough to be dangerous to your franchise.
No, I'm just trying to think.
You know, like, let's start him.
So they had Brett was probably the last real –
Yeah.
Brett probably was the last real veteran quarterback. Right?
And it worked out really well for them for the time they had him.
Yeah.
Javier in Phoenix. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Man, that was like 100 years ago.
Yeah, a long time.
Morning, fellas.
What's happening?
Let me play Max right now and stuff. Max, I got this for you, and Key, you especially. What if you know, Jerry Jones gets a little wild every once in a while and stuff. He gave up 3 or 4 number ones for Lamar. What do you guys think?
Ooh, for Lamar. That's not the same conference. Yeah, Lamar would be in Dallas.
Can't do it, man. Salary cap.
Oof.
So, you know, I'm not going to play into that. Salary cap problems. Too much salary cap problems.
Can't put Lamar in Dallas. They might mess around and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that, nah. Could have drafted him. Oh, well.
People don't know how good Lamar is. He gets
good coach. He's a good player.
No. People underestimate how good Lamar Jackson is. I will say it again. With very little on the team, because a lot of it was injury to both sides of the ball the last couple years, the only player to me that could say he might be a match for Patrick Mahomes in terms of the amount of influence he has on the outcome of the game is Lamar. Lamar is different from everybody else. When he is in the game, you can beat anybody. And when he's not in the game, you're not a very good team.
He is a very good quarterback.
Really
good
quarterback.
They should pay him as such.
And again, this is all done without ever having that alpha target. Well, wide out, I should say. Mike in New York. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
How you guys doing? Good morning.
What's up, Mike?
So I just don't think Carr's a good fit for the Jets because of the fact that it's known that he is not a good cold weather quarterback. Mm-hmm. And he's going to have to play a lot of games in the cold.
Mm-hmm.
His
good
records
point.
Is something is horrible, like when it's 36 degrees or below.
What's up, Key?
What do you guys think?
He's talking your language, Key.
And that may be the case because when you play a majority of your games in warm weather, indoors, Vegas, Oakland, California, you got to get used to it.
Yeah.
That's all. Think about it. I came from the West Coast as a receiver. I had my worst game of my career was in Buffalo. First cold game I ever played in.
Got to get used to it.
Doesn't mean it
can't be done.
It can't be done. You just got to get used to it.
That's interesting. Yeah. I agree with that. Like, even just moving to L.A., when people say your blood thins out, man, when I first got to L.A., people were complaining about the cold. It's like 58 degrees. I'm like, what are you,
crazy?
It's
really cold.
Yeah, but after you live there for a couple of years, you're like, man, it's cold.
Yeah.
Your body acclimates. It really does. Yeah,
and when you look at it, though, you're going into, you know, how many games has he really honestly played in the cold coming from the West Coast? I mean, what is he going to get? Maybe a Green Bay, maybe he plays in Buffalo or New York once or twice. In fact, he beat the Jets at the end, huh, on the touchdown pass a couple years ago or whatever, on a bomb up the sideline. I mean, when you look at cold weather games, he's probably only played in a handful. It's not like he's played in 60 cold weather games in his career. I mean, he's played in a handful of them.
And so when you look at the record in cold weather, that means, to answer this, what was his last caller's name from New York?
I don't remember.
To answer that concern, it's not that you deny the issue of playing in cold weather. It's that it's not disqualifying, because probably what it means is he simply has to get used to it.
Yeah.
Is this the most important stretch of the regular season in the history of LeBron James's career and his whole career? Because LeBron seems to think so. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
It's 23 of the most important games of my career for a regular season.
Lakers might have to go something like 17-6 in order to make up that gap. It's a major challenge ahead.
The way the West has looked, I can't dismiss the possibility that the Los Angeles Lakers could make some noise.
And I think as these pieces are better pieces than what they had before, I still see this team being, you know, an 8 seed who goes out or has an exit in the first round.
You're always going to give them a chance because they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Jay getting a little time to himself. Key and me today. But Key's in studio. Look at this.
I'm always in studio.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Same studio as me, though, is the point. Hey, of course, if AD is healthy, and that's always the big if with the Lakers, Key, if I'm Denver, D'Angelo Russell better fit on this team than Russell Westbrook, all that. If I'm Denver, I don't want to see them in the first round, right? Like, Lakers maybe could do, but the Lakers ain't winning no championship this year. That's obvious. LeBron, though, thinks that these 23 last regular season games, because the All-Star break happens very late in the NBA season, in fact, it's not the halfway point. He thinks they're important. Listen to LeBron.
It's 23 of the most important games of my career for a regular season. And it's the type of mindset that I have, and I hope the guys will have coming back off the break.
Key, I don't know if it's the 23 most important games of his career, but I have reason to believe that they're important, that we'll get to in a second. Do you think missing the playoffs again would cause irreparable harm to LeBron's Lakers legacy, to his Lakers legacy?
I think from a Lakers standpoint, 2 years in a row, LeBron's allegedly constructed these rosters. You know, the rumor mill, you know how that is. People don't really know, but they think they know. I think people would look at it and be like, you know, if he wasn't tampering and involved with the situation, they wouldn't have these issues. So I think from a Lakers standpoint, people will start to question and scratch their head, especially if they can't land Kyrie next year.
See, to me, you just hit on the whole reason why these are actually really important games. You know, KD and LeBron have never coexisted in the same conference, right? When LeBron's in the East, KD's in the West. And LeBron goes West, KD goes East. And they've never really met in the finals, really. Like, when they met the first time, KD was a puppy, right? And LeBron was in his prime.
Yeah.
And when they met the second time,
still
come
in his
on,
prime.
Man. Yeah, right. He's still good. When they met the second time, KD had an unfair advantage. Like, no one ever was going to beat that Warriors. Come on. 73 wins, and then you put KD on the team? And who's he replacing? Basically Harrison Barnes? And they won 73 with Harrison Barnes. What do you think they're going to do with KD? The answer was destroy everything in sight. So that's a fake competition. Okay. Now, though, Key, they're in the same conference. LeBron's still really good. Still really good. KD is still really good. Kyrie's got to be watching this whole thing, right? Now, he's in Dallas. If he stays put in Dallas, okay. Then I'm looking at KD and Booker and, you know, Chris Paul, who's past it. He's still good, but he's not what he once was. Versus LeBron and AD and whoever else they're going to get to complement what they have. But Kyrie is watching this, Key, and he's got to be sitting there thinking, huh, if I don't want to stay in Dallas, do I want to go mess with Devin Booker and KD or with what they got cooking in L.A. with the Lakers and LeBron? If they look terrible in L.A., why would Kyrie want to go there?
Because I can fix that if I'm Kyrie. I can fix that because only really everything else, the other nine guys or whatever, so what? AD and LeBron and Kyrie and then whatever else around is fine. The garnishes around is great.
I agree.
This is the meal. This is what it looks like.
I agree, but sometimes it can feel bad. Like it could.
No,
like,
not if you're a player. If you're a player, I'm looking at it and I'm saying to myself as a player, I see what they're missing. They missing me.
But what if you look at Phoenix and go, as good as they are, could you
imagine? Yeah, but I don't really want to. But I really want to be in L.A. Or maybe I really want to play with LeBron again. Or maybe I want to be with AD again.
Or maybe you want to be with KD again and show everyone it could be done right. Or me. And by the way, Phoenix, it's not L.A., but it's right there. It's a little puddle jumper.
Yeah, but it's not the same. When you make decisions like this, decisions that you make become, you have to make historical decisions. How do I fit in the hierarchy of the Kobe Bryant?
You're talking about Kyrie now.
Kyrie.
Yeah.
I mean, like, okay, so when we talk about point guards in Phoenix, okay, there's Kevin Johnson, there's Chris Paul. Like,
yeah, but actually, I think.
It's just a different, we talk about guards in L.A., it's just a different, I want to be a part of that versus a part of this.
Let me play devil's advocate, though. I agree with that. But let me
just telling you, man. Don't sleep on selling L.A.
No question. But let me play.
Well, that sounds like a reality show.
Don't sleep on selling. Let me play devil's advocate. If you're Kyrie, do you get more credit for being on a team with KD and Devin Booker, where people are going to look and go, oh, "That is a lot," versus with AD, who's had his ups and downs with injuries?
You don't even need to finish. I'm going to get more credit in L.A.
You're going to get more credit
absolutely,
in L.A.
absolutely because they're down.
Yeah,
and
I just
coming.
Made the opposite argument of the one I thought I was making. Go ahead.
they're down, and I'm coming. So when I come, we up. Phoenix is already up.
I talked
KD
myself
is already
out of it.
There.
Yeah.
KD has got him up already. I just looked at ticket prices the other day to go to the game when they play the Mavs on March 11th. Fly in with my son. And, oh, I should have said he'll be listening. But, yeah, I looked at some seats, and their ticket prices are up.
Surprise.
Well, KD's there.
No, I mean, did you just ruin the surprise?
He's probably asleep right now.
All right, that's good.
Yeah, that's good, yeah. I don't want to go into it.
KD, before he got the Achilles, before he came, hurt his Achilles,
yes.
Was playing, he was still getting better. The scary thing about him is he was always incredible. He was getting better and better and better. Then goes the Achilles. Okay, he's never going to get all the way back. He's all the way back now. He's all the way back now. To me, he's the best player in the game by a bit right now when he's on the floor. Man, that Phoenix team is going to be a lot.
It's going to be a lot. But LeBron James is also looking at, and when he says this stretch, early in his career, he missed the playoffs back-to-back. But he was 17 years old.
Yeah,
he didn't even have hair on his face, right?
Dan Gilbert had a plane running around.
You can see his cheekbones and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like he barely had a license. Well, now he's looking at it, and he's older. He's more mature. To miss it back-to-back years when you have a team that just won a championship, bubble or not, a couple years ago, it's damaging to a degree to his Laker legacy because – Lakers not in the playoffs again? Like, what? We paying for this again?
Do you think from Kyrie's point of view, he's more likely to look at KD and LeBron and go, I won with LeBron. That's the championship I won, not with KD. Or is he more likely to go, you know, if I just go back to LeBron and win a championship, my legacy is going to be he needed LeBron to win a championship. I have unfinished business with KD.
No, I would probably say the opposite because LeBron James will need him to win the championship in L.A.
He already got one in L.A. without him, though.
Yeah,
Pete.
But he won ain't good enough. Like, how many times I keep telling you?
No,
that?
Yeah, that's true. I'm just saying, LeBron's already shown, man, I don't need Kyrie to win a championship.
But he need A.D. to win one.
Everyone needs somebody.
But I get it. But the argument would be he needed A.D. to win it. So, but Kyrie could benefit off going to L.A. and saving LeBron's L.A. Laker legacy.
That is true. I'm saying, what about the side of it where it's like, but Kyrie has played on a lot of good teams with a lot of good players, great players, but only won the one with LeBron, whereas LeBron has won a couple without Kyrie. Do you think that could play into Kyrie's decision?
No, I don't think so.
888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Are trade requests in the NBA a good thing for the sport? Because KD thinks they are. Plus, does the NBA, in fact, have a load management issue? Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
If there's anything I could change about the league to make it better, probably just all the guys sitting resting. That's the only thing I probably don't like.
The NBA has devalued their regular season. We've been part of it. If all we do every time somebody accomplishes something is say, well, let's see it in the playoffs, or how many championships do you have, then who cares what happens in a February game?
I don't disagree with either side. I do think that players should play when healthy, but there is a happy medium you can find.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. By the way, if you haven't been paying attention, if you have, there was a terrible earthquake in Turkey, and last I checked, it was over 32,000 dead from the earthquake in Turkey, and these stories about kids calling from the rubble trapped for 5 days, 6 days, and there's not enough equipment to dig them out, right? You can help people affected by the Turkey earthquake. Please visit redcross.org/ESPN. That's redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross respond. So, Key, coming in, we heard sound about NBA and load management and people taking time off, and we heard, you know, an opinion about how, hey, look, if all we ever say is what are they going to do in the playoffs, then of course we're going to devalue the regular season. I disagree with that. I think the reason that we say what are they going to do in the playoffs, it's not because it's an act of will and we can just stop saying that and then people will care about the regular season. The fact is, if your regular season ends and 10 out of 15 teams in each conference, 20 out of 30 altogether, that's fully two-thirds of the teams in the league, are still playing basketball, then of course the regular season doesn't matter that much because everyone's still playing after the regular season's over, and those are the games that really count, right? Like, that's not us and the media or the fans just kind of saying it too much and making it true. It's the way the league set it up. So naturally, if teams are trying to win championships and they think a guy is injury prone and they have data that leads them to believe that load management helps them when the games really matter, of course they're going to rest guys.
I think games matter in the regular season. I say this all the time, because in order for you to get to where you're trying to get to in the postseason, you've got to go through the regular season to get there. Seedings, things of that nature. You need to be in sync. You got to have flow. You have to have chemistry. And all of those sort of things is part of the regular season. You can't be successful in the postseason without having a successful regular season. But think about it. There's not one team that stinks in the regular season, and then all of a sudden, they're the greatest thing ever in the postseason.
But what the argument you're making is different, I think, than the response to the one I'm making. I'm not arguing that the pendulum hasn't swung too far in the other direction. In fact, it's counterproductive when you load manage. I'm saying the incentive was there to load manage. And now if what you're saying is true, and I think it probably is, the incentive will be to not load manage as much because it's bad for your team.
What is load managing too much, though? What is load? A guy misses, what is the regular season, 82
games.
So a guy misses 15 games out of 82?
That's basically what happens nowadays.
Why is that a big deal? They need rest.
It's a big chunk of the season.
Oh, God, stop. The guy's hurt. He's tired. His legs are fatigued. Whatever.
Michael Jordan never missed 50. He played 82 games a year.
And Babe Ruth did, too.
Yeah, exactly. I love how people always go to, you take the greatest player ever, and they look what he did. That doesn't mean everyone can.
I played every snap I could play, but right. Didn't mean I wasn't tired. And you know, right? I mean, that's just.
But what I mean about what the point you made earlier is teams load manage because they believe, or players load manage because they believe it's in their best interest to do so. If they start feeling it's not in their best interest to do so, for example, the public forgets about you, Kawhi Leonard, or some team doesn't establish the right kind of rhythm and chemistry, as you mentioned, whatever team you might point to, then they'll stop doing
but
it
do,
as much.
But do people realize that the ones that, okay, I don't like load management when it comes to missing games because all of a sudden it's a nationally televised game, or you're supposed to play against the Clippers and you didn't play and everybody went out and bought these tickets, or it's Golden State in town and you didn't play because it's Golden State. That to me is when I have a problem, because fans, you know, they maybe only can go to one or two games a year, and that's just so happened you missed that game that they spent all their money to get the ticket and they didn't know in advance that you were going to miss the game. That's the problem that I have with it. As far as resting up, Max, I could tell you just from being a professional athlete, your body, man, no matter how many games you miss or whatever people tell you, your body, it needs to rest up. You're going night in and night out.
Because you're more effective if you do, right?
Yes,
that's
you
what
are.
I'm saying.
You are more effective
if you do. The reason
they
do it is because there's the belief that it's in their best interest,
but
player
they also
and team.
But they also may be injured to a degree, or sore, where that soreness needs to rest up to get out of your body.
I want to point out this stat that we have here. And the reason I want to point it out is because a lot of times you'll hear about how the game nowadays is better than ever before. partly because there's more intensity on every play, right? Well, that's one of, I think, also the reasons you see in 17. Look at the trend. How many players play every game of a season? Not that long ago, right? Look at this.
Yes.
5 years ago, it was 26 players played every game in the whole league. That's fewer than one per team. And then it steadily declined until last year, only five played every game in the whole league. But we see this in baseball, too. Pitchers throw 160 innings. That's a full season. It used to be 220 innings was a full season, right? It's different because also average velocity fastball's gone way up. If you're going harder and more intensely on every play, then it stands to reason you can play fewer plays, right?
That was the entire league, though. That wasn't one player.
Yeah, right.
That wasn't one team. That's the entire league.
Yeah, it's a trend.
So if the entire league sees this and coaches are doing it and trainers are doing it, what's the problem?
Meantime, that's one big issue in the NBA right now. If you talk about the big issues, there's load management and people pay money and the players
the money paying.
Ticket
you know,
buyers.
I would be upset if I flew all the way to Phoenix when they play the Mavs and Luka didn't play, Kyrie didn't play, KD didn't play, Booker didn't. You know, I would.
Like
not
false
be happy.
Advertising.
Yeah, I wouldn't be happy.
Well, the other big issue is superstars forcing their way out of teams. Now, I want to, Key, you and I feel in many ways very similar about this, but I want to play what KD had to say about it.
I don't think it's bad for the league. It's bringing more eyes to the league. More people are more excited. The tweets that I got and the news hits that we got from me being traded, Kyrie being traded, just bring more attention to the league. And that's really what makes you money is when you get more attention. So I think it's great for the league, to be honest. Teams been trading players and making acquisitions for a long time. Now when a player can kind of dictate where he wants to go and leaving free agency or demand a trade, it's just part of the game now. So I don't think it's a bad thing. It's bringing more and more excitement to the game.
Key, I totally agree with KD. There's a whole other argument about why I think players should always do everything in their power to get exactly what they want, and that's they are drafted to a team they have no choice in. They're the best in the world at what they do. As I always say, it's literally, it's almost not an exaggeration to say out of 7.5 billion people on earth, everyone who can play in the NBA is playing in the NBA. There are only 400 slots. It's the most exclusive job in the world. And once you get to it, like, you got to stay in this market that you had no choice for basically 6 years, or you leave a fortune on the table. So like, it's not fair to the players. Do everything you can. But what he said is true, Key. Think about the NBA. It knocked the Super Bowl off the headline for the whole week. Leading into the Super Bowl, every day it was something else. KD is going to Booker. What's Kyrie going to do with the Mets? Every day it was something else. He's right. It drew attention to the league.
It did draw attention to the league. There's no question about it because of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. If they don't move, I don't know if you get the same sizzle buzz.
Snap, crackle, pop, as you like to say.
Snap, crackle, pop, as you deal with those two guys. I look at it for different reasons, though. If you're in a place for several years and you're not hitting pay dirt and it's not going the way you thought it was going to go, then you can request a trade or get out of your contract or something like that. Yeah, but just popping around to be popping around because you go somewhere and it didn't work out in 2 years and you're mad and I'm getting out of here, I don't like that. But if you are somewhere for an extended period of time, like a Dame Lillard situation in Portland, like, if I'm him and I walk up to the Trailblazers and say, this ain't it. They should be more than willing to move him.
Yeah, no one's going to be mad at Damian
Lillard. Not at all. And I'm not mad at KD. If it didn't work in Brooklyn. So, okay, Kyrie said, you know what, y'all don't want to pay me my money, y'all playing games. I'm up out of here. I'm not giving you my services. Move on. So he moves on. KD, like, you're not getting ready to have me stand around here just butt-necked out here by myself.
How many more years I got? Right?
I got to get out of here.
I got to waste the rest of my career here?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Do you have an issue with superstars requesting trades? 888-SAY-ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance.
Knuckleheads,
KD,
man.
Says stars making trade requests are good for the league. I will point out, the whole week leading into the Super Bowl, we did not lead with the NFL or the Super Bowl. We led with NBA hot stove, NBA offseason.
Sometimes, man, these dudes that work here,
yeah,
in the control room,
yeah,
they really are stupid.
They get on your nerves, huh?
No, they do sometimes. Yeah, but they just say some stuff that don't even make any sense.
So what now?
Because they complaining that I'm mad if I go to Phoenix to watch the Mavs play and three out of five stars aren't playing, or four
bad
to five stars aren't playing. They tell me it's bad parenting.
It's
to
bad
go.
Planning by you, absolutely.
How is it bad planning? And that's my schedule. That's
because
the only game I could go to.
You're supposed to cross-reference your schedule for work with the NBA schedule. And if you're a fan of the team, then you know, oh, they just played 9 games in 12 days, but 4 games in 5 nights. Odds are X, Y, and Z might not play. So if you're a good parent who's a fan of the team, you would look and you would look forward and say, you know what? There's a chance that Giannis and these dudes might not play. Let me not buy this ticket. Let me get the Jones after everything calms down.
You should call Yates from now on before you plan.
That's just stupid.
No, it's stupid for y'all to spend $9,000 on flight travel and hotels and
I don't know if it's
going to
be that much. I mean, I love my son, but yes,
it is.
I don't know if it's that much. I love my son and all that, but I don't know that it's that much.
It sounds like poor planning by parents.
It's not poor planning. I'm expecting you to play in a marquee big time game, and then all of a sudden they don't play, I'm going to be mad.
You know what the Suns don't care about? Your travel schedule. They do care about winning championships.
It's not about my travel schedule.
You guys are
schedule.
Actually arguing about a real thing, which is the teams, as I said earlier, and the players are doing what they feel they're incentivized to do. What we all say is the only thing that matters is we win a championship or not. So any team
yes.
who thinks it gives them a better chance to win a championship to rest a player are going to rest that player.
But if I'm going to watch Luka and Kyrie,
yeah,
Kevin Durant, Booker, and CP3. And a number of those five are not playing, and I just came from L.A. to Phoenix and did all that.
Gassed
and
up the private jet and everything.
No, private jet gas up, none of that.
That's expensive.
But going there, however I got there, whether it was riding a horse, however I got there, I'm going to be mad.
So if he gets hurt, if the player that you're going to see, say you go to see Giannis and he gets hurt literally the first play of the game, are you going to look at your son or daughter and be like, oh, man, I want to get a refund because so-and-so's
no,
not
I'm
playing?
Not. No, I'm not.
That's
I'm
the
not.
Risk you run,
no.
yo. That's
no,
the risk you run.
No, that's different.
It is a risk
Yates.
You run, yo.
No.
It is different because I didn't expect for the dude to get hurt.
But you... So, but you're expecting to watch the game. If you're going
I
to watch
expect
specific,
to watch a dude play based on me purchasing the tickets.
There's more
if he
than
gets
one
hurt,
pro on the floor.
Oh, but I'm not. I want all of them.
There is such
That's
a level.
I'm buying the ticket.
There is
That's
such
ridiculous.
A level of entitlement that fans have now that just because they bought a ticket, they think they deserve all
deserve
of this
to
stuff
watch the team they paid for.
Well,
no, wait,
you
Pat,
can watch
I agree.
The team. You can watch the team.
I
you're
agree
not
with a,
guaranteed to watch any player.
I agree
I
with a lot of what
y'all.
You and Yates are saying, but it is fair to say that there is a trade-off here, that it is a competition and an entertainment product, and that someone like he or whoever who pays money to see a team that has certain players on it want to see, you know, they figure if you're not actually hurt, you should play.
Yes, I'm going to. This is why I paid the money.
Especially an NFL player where everyone's hurt on every play always, right? If they look at the NBA and like, come on, man, you got to get in there.
Yeah, that's cool and all. But my whole thing is, if you are acting as if you're shocked that so-and-so's not playing, if I'm going to watch a Clippers game, for example, and the Clippers have played 9 games in 12 days, I know for a fact Kawhi Leonard is not playing in one of them joints. Right. Therefore, I'm not going to go buy tickets just for that, though. That's bad planning by you as a parent.
Milwaukee has some things to say. Man. What's up, Al?
Hope his beard grows to his knees.
Going, Max. Listen, Max, you guys are doing a great job. But listen, I've let this go for about a week. I've given you a pass. I said, no, he didn't mean that. Okay. You have said over and over, and you said it again today. I got to call it on you. When KD is healthy, he is not the best player in the NBA.
He's easily Giannis is the best player in the NBA. Giannis is the best player in the NBA because once you say he's healthy, already you're acknowledging he's often not healthy, and that's a big part of it. I get it, and I agree. But the reason I give that caveat is when KD is on the floor. If you want to look at the quality of those minutes he plays, come on, man. Al, come on, man. It was just KD by himself. Harden was limping around for 2 games. The last 2 games of the series, Kyrie missed most of the series. He took you 7. You were fully crewed up. He took you 7 games.
You could argue, though, Giannis, KD. You could argue that.
Not if KD's healthy.
You could argue that.
Come on, man.
You could argue that. Key. You could argue it.
Key.
I'm just telling you, you can KD argue
KD is
it.
Back to playing defense on 5 positions at an elite level. He's getting the best scores since Michael Jordan.
Giannis is unstoppable.
Or since Kobe.
Giannis is unstoppable.
Yeah, yeah, like I love Giannis.
Like a Shaq unstoppable
type. True.
You can argue it.
He's not off. Who are you taking if they're both healthy?
What am I running, though? Like, what am I trying to
you
do?
You have no coach. You have no nothing. You just need a player for this game, and they're both healthy.
I'm going to probably take KD because he can shoot.
Yes. Well, it's a big part of it. Yeah.
But look, threes is better than twos, even though Giannis tries every now and then to knock down a three.
But KD's better at hitting twos, too.
Yeah, not really, not necessarily.
Well, because Giannis is in the paint,
your argument on Will Chamberlain standing underneath the basket a couple weeks ago and just getting twos because he was bigger than everybody else, he was supposed to be one of the top scorers, according to you.
I agree. In other words, if you are great in the paint, then the question becomes how.
Well, that's
easily,
two. No matter how, if you're in the paint or not, you're still two.
Right, but I agree. But now how easily can you get to the paint because KD's two is available to him all the time. Giannis in the playoffs, for example, when they wall off, now all of a sudden that two isn't available to him and he's not as good at getting the other kind of two. See what I'm saying? Therefore, I like KD more.
Again, you could argue. You could argue. It's not definitive.
From two, right. Even from percentage, if you just look at percentage, KD. Look, I love Giannis.
You can argue.
Giannis is the best player in the game because he's also available most of the time. But come on, man, when they're both healthy, key.
Man, Giannis is – I used to be like that on Giannis, too, until a couple years ago, and I really labbed him. Once I labbed him and took him to the lab, he's different. KD cold-blooded now. Ain't nothing wrong with KD, either one.
Xavier in New York, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's up, Key? What's up, Max? I just want to give some commentary on this load management issue. I don't think it's poor planning on Key's part or the fans' part. Most people aren't really following like that. You have guys that are fans of LeBron, KD. You know, they're player fans.
Yeah!
So when you buy a ticket, what? The plans need to be – the team needs to do a better job at letting you know what players
Absolutely.
Are going to play or not
That's
play the day before.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, if you're watching a trailer for a movie and you see Denzel, Leonardo DiCaprio, and you buy a ticket for that movie –
And
you go there and Denzel's not in it. You're like, well, what is the movie? You know what I mean? So,
you know, I agree. Wait, this is a great point, Xavier. This is a great point. In other words, the team's kind of trying to be slick. Of course, they want to maximize, optimize their profits.
That's what I said.
Don't want to advertise who's not going to be there.
Wait a second, Max.
If you want to load manage your guy, just give me an idea. Give me a 24, 48-hour notice. I can at least sell him. Get some of my money back.
Max, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You do Broadway?
I've been to Broadway shows, absolutely, yes.
So when you see the main cast and then the secondary cast,
you're
mad. That
if you
anything?
If you pay for a Broadway ticket and they got the understudy in the lead role, you're mad. You're mad period. Period,
mad.
You're mad.
Mad.
Yes, of course, you're mad. But the difference is there's not a competitive element to, like, it is in an, the NBA is an entertainment product. That's what Key is speaking to. But it's also an athletic competition, which you guys are speaking to. And if you incentivize, if the rules of the game mean that it's better for you to rest your best performers some days, that's what you're going to do.
I'm going to pay C. Kyle Kuzma. Stop, man.
Maybe casual fans shouldn't just go to the game.
At what point did Daniel Jones become too expensive for the Giants? KJM.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.